Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel, often imitated lately, but never duplicated. Let's get straight to the docket. First, the press goes to court to try and get more information on the Murdaugh investigation. Second, sentencing on the Tibbetts case has been delayed. Will there be a new trial? Third, hashtag free Britney. Fourth, an NFL player's arrest because of the 911 call. Let's take a listen. Free speech or a hate crime? And our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Let's get straight to the docket today. All right. First, the Murdaugh investigation. This case goes back to June 7th regarding the death of Maggie Murdaugh and her son, Paul. Now, there's a lot of speculation going on with this case, and we like facts, not speculation. And a little bit of information has been trickling out regarding this case. First and foremost, I think, is the fact that when the police were conducting their investigation, they came across new evidence that resulted in the reopening of a death case regarding a young man by the name of Stephen Smith. We know that one car was towed away from the property, and there were many on there. We also have learned the fact that a maid, a housekeeper, a longtime housekeeper for the Murdaughs, filed and settled a wrongful death suit, which is a little weird when somebody has a trip and fall on your property. Wrongful death, really? So a whole lot of stuff. And then, of course, you have the Paul Murdaugh incident regarding the death of Miss Mallory Beach when it was alleged that Paul Murdaugh drove a boat intoxicated, hit a bridge, ultimately throwing Miss Beach from the vehicle and resulting in her death. Those charges obviously went away. Well, the press down in South Carolina is going to court and asking the court to make the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division to release more information because the public has a right to know. Not surprisingly, the SLED, South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, is saying, hey, Judge, we're releasing what we can, but we don't want to release so much information that it could potentially jeopardize our investigation. Yes, we understand the public has a right to know, but we have a right to conduct our investigation, and that kind of trumps the public's right to know. The press disagrees and says, no, Judge, they are just redacting stuff at their own discretion, not in accordance with the public open records policies there in South Carolina. Specifically, the newspaper down there is arguing the state agency was very heavy-handed on how it blacked out information in the reports. And understand there's only been 18 pages released, some of them almost entirely redacted. So the newspaper is arguing the South Carolina Freedom of Information Act requires that the agency to articulate exactly how any information not released would affect the investigation instead of simply allowing officials just to say it could cause a problem in their investigation. And, you know, yes, I'm interested in this, and I think the newspapers are correct. Just like we had in the Barry Morphew case, the public has a right to know what is going on in their community. The court is public information. We should be entitled to see it. And regardless of what is discussed outside of court, the only thing that matters is what is presented and what is legally permissible evidence in court. So that being said, I hope the judge rules in favor of the press. The court said that they'll hopefully have a ruling shortly. And if anybody has any information, the Murdaugh family is offering a $100,000 reward to anyone who has information that leads to the killer's conviction. If anyone has that information, they have a 24-hour line set up. contact 803-896-2605. Next on the docket, there's been a delay in the sentencing for convicted killer Christian Bahena Rivera in regards to the Molly Tibbetts case. Now, as we brought you information the other day, some information has come out that basically may corroborate Rivera's unusual testimony that he gave at his trial when he testified in his own defense. It seems somewhat unbelievable, but the attorneys have said, hey, that's the stories he's been given all along. As the story came out, inmates at other facilities have said, hey, I spoke with a guy who said that he was responsible and basically said similar, not identical, but similar stuff as to what Mr. Rivera testified to in court. So the defense did what they are supposed to do ethically and say, hey, judge, let's pump the brakes here on sentencing and we may have a motion for a new trial and we want the prosecutor to turn over more of the information that they have regarding this new information, even though the prosecutor just turned over just a little sliver of it. I would be of the mindset that the prosecutor has an ethical and legal obligation to turn over everything regarding this new information, even if the people making these statements are not credible, or at least in the eyes of the prosecution, not credible. We just simply do not know. Now, why would it be best to turn over this information, have the court review it, have the defense investigate it, and see if there's enough information to warrant a new trial? Well, because the fundamental principle in our judicial system is that we do not want to convict innocent people. We've all heard the adage, it's better that 10 guilty people go free than to convict one innocent person. Well, we don't know. Mr. Rivera was promptly convicted by a jury of his peers, probably because nobody had information to corroborate his version of the events. I'm sure that was frustrating to the defense. Now this information's come forward. The judge is doing the right thing and saying, hey, I'm going to issue a ruling based upon the defense's request in this particular case, and we'll deal with Mr. Rivera's sentencing later. Why? It's not like he's going anywhere, but it's easier to correct something now than down the road after somebody's been sentenced, right? Then you have to do the appeal. Then you have to do the post-conviction relief. Witnesses' memories fade. Witnesses disappear. All that type of thing. We have it right here. It just became available. Apparently wasn't available to the defense, which would warrant a good cause motion for a new trial. Now, the prosecution is saying this is unconscionable. Basically, we won and we're picking up our ball and going home. We don't have to help the defense. Yes, you do. We'll see what the judge orders as well. And remember, the prosecutor's job is to do justice, not just gain a conviction. If the court determines that there is some credible evidence, have a hearing, see if it pans out. If it warrants a new trial, the judge can grant a new trial. If the court says it doesn't grant a new trial, it becomes an issue on appeal. But have the hearing now when everybody's here. It just makes smart sense. It's good judicial economy, and it's the right thing to do. Next on the docket, hashtag Free Britney. Now, we all heard, we put up the testimony or the statement made by Britney Spears to the court, basically asking that her conservatorship be terminated, at least have her dad removed from the position as her conservator. The court-appointed attorney, Samuel Ingham, has been permitted to resign as his court-appointed position as guardian ad litem. So now what is Miss Spears going to do? Well, she has plans, and it appears as though the attorney is going to be entering his appearance on the case, and that is a very highly expensive attorney that works for a big national firm. This individual's name is Matthew Rosengart. Now, he is a veteran entertainment litigator, and he was at the hearing that took place yesterday. And he wants to be her new counsel. Britney Spears' father has basically said through his attorneys, he's not stepping down. I guess this is a case where the court may need to decide who's going to be looking out for one's best interest, or the best interest of Britney Spears. Is it going to be her highly paid, expensive attorney, or is it going to be her dad, who maybe has, you know, paid himself for his time and services over the years and had complete control of his daughter? We'll just have to wait and see. The next move is we really need to see what is going to take place in regards to any motions that are filed, and if there is going to be a hearing for the removal of Britney Spears' father under the conservatorship. I think this one is going to get interesting indeed. Next on the docket, Richard Sherman. He's an NFL player. Pretty good. Yeah, he's in some trouble. And his wife basically called the police because she was basically afraid that if the police arrived, that Mr. Sherman would be shot by the police, or not because the police just show up and shoot people, but because Mr. Sherman, who was in a very highly intoxicated state at the time, stated that he would fight the police, and that never is going to end well. So, you know, Mr. Sherman has been arrested on burglary charges relating to this domestic violence incident, and he's still being held without bond. Seems like Mr. Sherman was having a really bad day, which was further exacerbated by a large quantity of alcohol. Take a listen to the 911 call. You know, these kind of calls take place every day. The dispatcher got a little frustrated, but everybody was trying to do the right thing.
I need officers to my house now. My husband is drunk and threatened to kill himself.
Stop. What's the address? Are there any weapons? Stop.
There's no gun. I'm saying there are no weapons, ma'am. There are no weapons.
You need to stop interrupting me so I can get the information I need to get officers expedited.
I need officers here now.
What's he doing that you think he's going to harm himself?
He's being aggressive. He has sent text messages. I took the keys out. They're in your car. He's trying to leave now in the house. He's being aggressive. He's wrestling with my uncle. He's threatening to kill himself. He has sent text messages to people saying he's going to hang himself. He's saying that if the police show up, so please don't shoot is what I'm asking.
Okay, wait. Say that again.
He has no weapon.
He said
if the police show up, that he'll try to fight them. So they need to understand that he is.
Okay. Listen, what's your phone number there? Okay, and has it been physical with anybody there? You said he's trying to fight your uncle?
Yes, it has.
How has it been physical?
He just tried to fight him.
Okay, trying to fight somebody and actually being physical
is
two different
things.
Been physical?
He's pulling out now. He's trying to leave. He's a fucking leaving in the Maybach.
What kind of car
is he
driving?
It's a 2016 black Mercedes. BBB3425. Richard, please stop.
Boy. Hello.
BBB3425. Richard, please stop. Please stop.
Is that a sedan, SUV?
It's just a black sedan, Mercedes SUV.
Okay.
He's not going to be able to get out the gate. I cut it off.
What do you mean you cut it off?
I cut the gate. We live behind it. It's Richard Sherman. Like, ma'am, this is like a fucking emergency. I need officers here
listen
now.
Listen to me. I'm handling this. You need to stop telling me that.
Okay, but what I'm
not going to slow help down.
Talking to me is not going to slow help down. Okay, well, what I need to know is that he...
What's your name?
My name is Ashley Sherman.
Do you know what his date of birth is?
3/30/88.
Okay, slow down so I can understand you. What's the date of birth?
March 30th, 1988.
Does anybody need an ambulance there? You said it was physical.
No, we don't need an ambulance.
Okay. And he does not have any weapons or access to weapons?
No.
Okay, and how much has he had to drink tonight?
Two bottles
of what?
Ma'am.
A vodka and Hennessy.
Okay, hard alcohol.
It's alcohol. He's intoxicated.
Okay, sir. I'm only going to talk to one person, so please put the phone down and talk to Ashley.
Okay, is the sheriff on the way?
Okay, listen, it's over on dispatch, okay? Talking to me is not going to slow anything else down.
Someone fucking gets killed, bro. Like,
okay, I'll let you off the line. The officers have the information.
All right, let's take a quick break before we continue on with the docket. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, is this free speech or a hate crime? Let me know what you think in the comments below. So 19-year-old Laura Gibson and her friends were driving back to California while they were finishing up a camping trip in Utah. On the way back, they were pulled over and ticketed for speeding in Utah. Now, this is not uncommon in Utah. Everybody gets a speeding ticket in Utah. It's just the way it is. Ms. Gibson and her friends believe that the officer was acting aggressively towards them. And she basically had enough. Now she's being charged with intimidation and disorderly conduct. Well, what did she do to get that? Well, Ms. Gibson apparently had purchased a back the blue sign that she had picked up earlier in the day. She then waved it at the police officer and then threw it on the ground, stomping it. And then she basically threw it in the trash can. Apparently, the Garfield County Sheriff Deputy perceived this as intimidating. Ms. Gibson's actions as intimidating, she was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and criminal mischief. The hate crime enhancement is for the intimidation of law enforcement. I understand that police officers have had a rough go the last couple of years. But when you take the job as a police officer, you take kind of the good with the bad. And you know that as a government official, people have a right to engage in various forms of free speech. There's been lots of cases where people have been able to go directly to tell the police F off to their face. They can drive by flipping them the bird as well. Now, certainly conduct I am not telling people to engage in, but yes, that is free speech. Whether you like it or not, it's reprehensible. It's free speech. This officer, I think, crossed the line. He should have simply given the young ladies their speeding ticket, let them vent their frustration. Hopefully it was all on body cam, but to arrest and charge somebody, I think, is a little over the top. Let me know what you think. I think this is a free speech case and it should be dismissed. And we have said this before, and I will say it again. Nobody has a right to not be offended, okay? There are lots of things that go on in the world that people disagree with and they don't like. And if it triggers them, you know what? I say grow backbone, get some thicker skin. You don't have a right in America not to be offended. This cop was probably thinking, hey, everyone's triggered. I've been triggered. I get where he's probably coming from. Like, I'll play your game as well. But the reality of it is this cop doesn't have a right to not be offended. The case should be dismissed. Free speech should always prevail, ladies and gentlemen. There's just too much censorship going on, and censorship is great as long as it's being censored in your favor, I guess. But then as soon as they start coming for you, it's not such a great thing. So you have to defend everyone's right to say things, even if it offends you, even if it hurts your feelings, even if it makes you feel like you're not in a safe place. It's called America. It's called life. Get out of your freaking parents' basement and get a life and get a backbone. All right, next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. This guy may not only be our dumb criminal contestant of the day, he may also just be a really creepy guy. All right, Vincent Kopasek is alleged to have sexually abused a 15-year-old girl on an airplane. That's right, on an airplane. Mr. Kopasek was arrested by the FBI, and he was seated directly behind the victim, who was in a window seat. The girl was traveling with her family on vacation and was seated next to her sister, while their mother was in an aisle seat. The girl's father and brother were in a separate row. As the flight progressed, Kopasek moved his fingers along the victim's seat, then onto her body. He allegedly grabbed and squeezed the girl's arm, brushed his fingers along her torso, and grabbed the child's waist. The child was actually able to take photographs of the hand coming across through the seats. Now, Kopasek faces up to 15 years in prison and a $250,000 fine if he is convicted. We'll obviously give him the presumption of innocence, even as our dumb criminal contestant. But, Mr. Kopasek, what are you thinking? 76 years old? Creeping on 15-year-old girls? Let me give you some little bit of advice, Mr. Kopasek. No 15-year-old girl is interested in a 76-year-old man, okay? That's just wrong. It's gross. And for you to think that a 15-year-old girl would be interested in a 76-year-old guy, you are dumb, which makes you our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, a quick follow-up on our dumb criminal contestant that we had a little bit ago. You may recall Eric DeTige. He was 47. He was arrested by the police. And remember, he was the perv playing with a pickle, pleasuring himself. That's right. In that particular case, the police found him half naked, pleasuring himself with a pickle placed in an orifice, pleasuring himself. And let's just say that orifice was near where he was pleasuring himself. Well, he has spent 92 days in custody, but he pled guilty just the other day to indecent exposure and was sentenced to credit time served, 92 days. Mr. DeTige, you won that week, you pickle-packing pleasure. That's right. Now you can claim your mug, a Crime Talk mug. Please just drink out of it. Try not to pleasure yourself in various orifices of your body. All right, that's all we had for today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.